went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Father, I thank you that your word always accomplishes what you send it out to do. I ask a special blessing on our ladies this morning. We ask, Lord, that you be with Doc in the hospital and be with Wayne as he sits there with him and ministers to him. Please be with Esther. Father, we're asking for your healing hand in this situation. And we know nothing's impossible with you. I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you will open our eyes, open our hearts and our ears to receive from heaven. I ask that I might decrease, that you would increase, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, just previously, before this, it said he'd fed the 5,000. He walked on water. And he decided to go to this region. The Pharisees had been pestering him. And John the Baptist had been beheaded, so you know how things can really pile up. It said when Jesus went to Tyre and Sidon, he didn't want anybody to know he was there. So even the Lord had to take a break sometimes. And it's kind of hard to remain incognito when somebody's hollering at you. And Jesus shows up at Tyre and Sidon. The other gospel said that she heard he was there. And she immediately began to petition him. And Adam Clark points out that there's 9 good points to this prayer of hers that we could all learn from. And I'm not going to elaborate on all 9 points. So, you know, don't get too upset. She starts out by saying, "Have mercy on me." I believe that's one of the only prayers God will hear out of the mouth of a repentant sinner. You got to remember something. She was a Canaanite. And she was in the position where the Apostle Paul said all of us Gentiles were at one time, aliens from the covenant with Israel. We were not God's people. And sometimes people think Jesus was a little harsh in his treatment of her, but Jesus was a law-abiding Jew and a law-abiding rabbi. He was the only man that ever perfectly kept the law. But when she saw Jesus, she said, "Have mercy on me." She referred to him as Lord and Son of David. One of the commentators I read said he believed she was just parroting what she had heard. Because if she really believed him to be the Son of David, which was the mark of the Messiah, then she could have proselytized and became a Jewess, and Jesus would have listened to her prayer. I don't necessarily agree with that. Jesus was a well-talked-about subject. You remember, he had went to Gennesaret, which had a large Gentile population, and he cast the demons out of that one man, and they asked him to leave, and it said the next time he came back, they brought all their sick to him and begged him, could they just touch the hem of his garment. So Jesus was well spoken of. And this woman heard that he was in town, and she immediately came to him with her request. And I think this is the way prayer should start. Have mercy on me. That's humility. Because you're recognizing that you need his mercy. I've told you before, You cannot be saved until you see your need for a Savior. I explained it to a man one time. He was asking about the mercy and God's grace, and I knew he liked to fish, and I said, what if you and I were on a fishing off the dam of a pond, the deep end, and you fell in and immediately you began to drown, and I reached my hand out, and you slapped my hand away and said, I'll get out of here on my own. I said, then you drowned. Would your family blame me? He said, well, no. They say he was stupid for not getting a hold of your hand because of his pride. I said, that's the way God's mercy is. He extends his hand to all men and women. That hand of mercy, the text that Brother Don read. It's his gift. Jesus was God's gift. And at this time, not to the Gentiles yet. He was getting ready to go to the cross, and after that, the door was open for everyone. And this woman came to him, and she called him Lord, Kyrios in the Greek, and it usually denotes someone of supreme authority. So, another word in the Greek that it represents is the controller. So she was acknowledging with her mouth that I believe you are the supreme authority. You are the controller. In these days, they had exorcists that would go around for a price and cast out demons. Sounds like a lot of our TV evangelists. You know, for a price, they would cast these demons out. And the Bible doesn't say, but I can imagine maybe she had tried some of those people. And this is the heart of mom. She's praying for her daughter. She wants help for her daughter. And it says that Jesus refused to answer her. I think it's Mark's gospel that says she follows him all the way to the house. And I got a little tickled at this. The disciples came to him and said, we beg you, send her away. Because she's crying out after us. And the implication in that crying out is strong emotion. It's the same word used when it said the crowd cried out about Jesus crucifying. There's strong emotion tied up in this. But what I got tickled at, the scholar said that the disciples said, we have a favor to ask. And the ESV says they begged. And when I looked at the language concordance, that's a pretty good interpretation or translation. They begged him. Lord, send her away. She is crying out after us. And that word crying out can refer to the croak of a raven, the scream or a shriek. Now, I've had men tell me their wives sometimes act just like an old crow. Just caw, 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 caw until they get their attention. Boy, ladies, don't look at me like that. I didn't write the Greek language. I'm just saying this is what it said. Or a shriek. It was the word used when Jesus was teaching in Capernaum. And it said that demon-possessed man came into the congregation and said, leave us alone. It's strong emotion. And his men come up and said, Lord, please send her away. Everybody's looking, you know. Ignoring her's not doing any good. She's persistent. That was one of the points Clark said he saw in this prayer. She was humble. She was specific in her prayer. Brother Gary's been teaching on that War Room series about prayer. And that's one of the things they're very pointed on is you need to be specific. And you know, in my own life, whenever I'm in trouble, I'm very specific with my prayers. I don't use flowery language. You know, Jesus said when you pray, don't use a lot of words. Some people think by doing that, it's heard. And this woman was persistent in her prayer. She didn't take no for an answer. She kept plugging away until he had his attention. And one of the Gospels says he comes into the house, and when the men are telling him to send her away, Jesus said, look, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I can't minister to this woman now. There was one other Gentile, according to the gospel narrations, that Jesus did answer, and that was the Roman centurion. And it said that the Jews told Jesus, you need to do this. He's a good man, and he's built a synagogue for us. He evidently kind of had a heart for the Jewish people, and he sent some servants to Jesus and said, my servant is ill, close to death, and he said, I want you to heal him. And he said, when Jesus said, I'll go to the house, one gospel said it was a centurion that spoke. Another said it was his servant. There's no inconsistency in that. In those days, your servant could be a representative. And they would take it that the centurion came. And I always liked this guy's faith. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my house. But he said, just speak the word and it'll be done. For I too am a man who has authority. And I say to my servant, do this, and he'll do it. When I tell the soldiers, go here, he said, they go. He said, I don't have to see to believe. And Jesus said, I've never found such faith in Israel anywhere. And he healed his servant. Now, I heard one minister say that when Jesus called her a dog, he was trying to stimulate her faith. She already had faith. And she was persistent. And when he came in and sat down, it says that she knelt. The King James said she worshiped him. And she said, Lord, please heal my daughter. And what Jesus said to her would have deterred a lot of people, a lot of women in that day. He said, it's not right for me to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Ladies, would you like to be called a dog? I only see one or two shaking their heads. The words that he said in the Greek is cur. Now, we in the Ozarks know what a cur dog is. They're just not much count for anything. And a dog was an unclean animal. And the Lord answered in the response that any rabbi of his day would have answered. And it sounds hateful and harsh. Today, he didn't call a woman hater. If Jesus said that today to some of the women, did I hear you right? Did you just call me a dog? Who do you think? You can keep your healing. I don't need any favors from you, and off they'd go. Or he'd get a 90-minute lecture on political correctness. But the Lord said to this woman, and he said it in love. So we're talking about God's love, and since God is love, everything he does comes from love. That's his motivation. That's his person. That's who he is. And Jesus in love. This woman has hounded, if I can use that word, a little play off the dog thing. But she has been on his heels, calling out loud, and she wouldn't quit. Ladies, when you're praying for your kids, don't stop until you get an answer. And that goes for anyone in this room. If you're praying for a family member or a friend of yours, don't stop. What do you think Satan was doing this whole time? He was telling her, he's not, he doesn't even acknowledge you. He doesn't care. He might as well just shut up and go to hell. But she wouldn't. It says she had heard of Jesus. I told you, she addressed him as Son of David. That's a term for the Messiah. And it's kind of funny, or sad actually, John said he came unto his own and his own didn't receive him. Here's a Gentile woman, not an heir of the covenant. And at that moment, it seemed that she had no problem believing that Jesus could give her her request. And he said, it's not right for me to take the children's bread, and the Greek says, throw it to the dogs. In essence, to dump it out for dogs. Jesus said, that's not right. I was only called to serve the sheep of Israel. And what she does next really stirs the Lord. She said, true, Lord, I agree with you. But she said, I'm not asking you to give me the kids' food, just the crumbs. Her response was, even puppies eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. That is humility. She not only referred to Jesus as one of supreme over earth, she was referring to the Jewish nation. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And Jesus, so moved, he looked at her and he just couldn't deny her. That's that heart of love. And he said, oh woman, great is your faith. Go home, your daughter's well. John said when she got home, her child was laying in the bed, but the demon was gone. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Faith is what stirs the heart of our God. And sometimes, church, we get to where we doubt whether he's going to answer our prayer. And I have learned in my own experience, it's very often at times when he's not going to answer it the way I think he should. I don't get my way, in other words. We must believe that God exists, that he hears our prayers, and he answers them. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer might be not right now. But here, Jesus answered this woman's prayer. And he commended her for her faith. I've heard Christianity being referred to as a sexist religion, you know, but Jesus did more to uplift women in his time than any rabbi ever did. Women were not considered a remarkable or a good witness. You couldn't count on them to be a witness. They weren't even allowed to testify in court because a woman's word didn't mean anything. In this culture, who did Jesus appeal to first? To the women. They were the only ones at the tomb. And he said, go tell my disciples that I'm going ahead of them to Galilee. And he said, when Mary went back, she seemed to them as somebody just out of her head, you know, just in grief. So the Lord rebuked them. They might have said, well, Lord, if you sent a man to us, we might have believed. But, I mean, you know, this woman, she's just hysterical and greedy. Keep praying. I have been praying for revival in this church ever since I've been here. And I'm not going to stop until revival comes. Because my God can do anything. Yeah, he can do anything. My mother told me this. She said, there was a point in time that you got so mean and so out there, I actually quit praying for you for a while. She said, I thought there's no hope. He grew up in church. He knows better, but he's doing it anyway. And some of the ladies she worked with said, don't quit. Keep praying. So she kept praying. I thank God that she did. I thank God for all the people that I found out later were praying for me. This lesson applies to every person in this room. Jesus said, keep asking, keep knocking until you get an answer. The old timers called that praying through. I don't even hear that used in the church anymore. And it's probably because we're not in the habit of that anymore. To pray through, you have to put your schedule and everything aside, and you have to say, I'm going to pray till I get an answer. That's what she did. Jesus ignoring her didn't stop her. She didn't quiet down. It said she screamed. She wanted to be sure she had his attention, and she did. But it was her faith that impressed Jesus. I've been studying this all week. And I've had to do some repenting and say, you know, Lord, there's times I shot quick prayers to you that maybe I didn't have faith to be asking you for that. Or maybe I've allowed myself to doubt. And that should not happen, Christian. Well, who can know the will of God? If you read that word, you can know God's will. My Bible says God's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of repentance. So when you're praying for somebody, that's His will. And you can remind Him of that. That's what I do. Now, you said it's not your will. So this is what I'm asking. And I know He's working. Would you stand with me this morning? The faith of a mother released her daughter from bondage. Your prayers of faith, if you'll persist in it, may very well be one of the key things that's going to release some of your family from the same kind of bondage. If you've never come to Christ, I'd like to invite you to do that. We won't embarrass you. Just if you think you need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'd be glad to talk to you. And if you would come as we sing our song of invitation. Tonight, go home and spend this time with your family. Also want to tell you that in the back we have flowers for the women. We ask the adult women take them. No slant meant by that or slur, but please take them. You don't have to be a mom to take a flower. They're just for our women in this church. Remember to be praying for Doc. He really needs to be lifted up, and for Esther. And she told me the other day there may come a time that I'll have to call on the church. And I told her to do it, not to be bashful about that. So if you get a phone call from her and she's needing some errands run or something, like, put on your happy face and go over there and do it. Because we all love them. And I told her the same thing. I said, if you need me to do something, you call me and let me know. So please be praying for them. Nothing's impossible with God. He can make that other kidney work and have Doc home by supper time in a couple of days. So that's what I'm going to be praying for. Any other requests? Okay. Yeah. So pray for Deanna if she goes to get her grandkids. Pray for God on mercy. Gary? keep them in their prayers, especially in this holiday traffic. Well, I'll ask Joe if he'll pray our closing prayer for us, please.
Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Father, we thankful, Father, we have the right and privilege to come here and worship you and hear your word. We're thankful, Father, for the congregation here and for the preachers and for all the singers and everyone who puts on the service here, Father, for you. Father, we pray for Doc and pray that he will be healed and restored and strengthened back to health. And others, members here, Father, that are suffering from physical pain, whether it be physical or spiritual pain, to be with them also that they may be healed and restored to health and strengthened as well. As we go to our homes, Father, we pray that you'll be with us this week and guide and direct our paths. As for those who are traveling, we pray that they'll have a safe trip. Lord, we'll be with them. Lord, we'll ride with them and be with them wherever they go. In Jesus' name, amen.
We are going to see the King. Sing and praise Him. We are going to see the King.